Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else listening, welcome back to Commissions Open Season 2. Character design for the set by Doida Flower on Twitter. Promotional art by Andromeda _ Snow on Twitter. Icon created by Shy Starfall. Commissions Open logo created by Melodic Scavenger. And tonight's guest, the cozy little critter whose art whisks you away into a quiet world of wonder. It's Garden Mouse! And here's your host, Doc Conrad! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Commissions Open, an interview podcast all about art in the digital age. Here you can hear the processes, stories, and lives of talented artists, voice actors, video creators, editors... Oh my goodness, I already messed up. Video creators, editors, musicians, and many other talented creators in the era of online work. I am your host, Doc Conrad, and today I have the absolutely lovely Garden Mouse. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great.
It is
lovely to be here.
I appreciate that. You've been you've actually like heard I reached out to you because you actually liked the show from Munchy Bones, who's a guest on the podcast when this episode comes out, but in recording their episode is not released yet. So
yeah.
But this episode is going to basically be all about you and all of the wonderful things that you've drawn, and which has been quite a bit. But for those of you who don't know who Garden Mouse is, why don't you go ahead and give a quick sum up of what you do?
Yeah, so I draw a lot of I guess cute animals is kind of the main thing, and then I do a good amount of D&D art here and there. I very much like fantasy stuff. My art generally, or at least I try to have kind of like a cozy, homey kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
I really I like to draw very eclectic spaces when I can, but I'm also very lazy, so
yeah. I've seen a lot of your, like, there's a lot of different scenes in which you make, like, different sceneries, different, like, home life with animals, but not fully exaggerated and accentuated. How would you best describe the way that you draw the animals? Would it be more like more human, less animal, or more animal, less human?
It's kind of both, depending on the art that I'm doing, because sometimes I'll do the more human when it's just like, because I like to draw at furries essentially as just like, it's a stylistic thing because it's cute, and I like drawing animals, but I also like to draw a sort of like a children's book, like Beatrix Potter type art sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that'll be like more just like an animal but walking around and has clothes.
yeah
and those are both styles that I like to do a lot, so, and I kind of switch between the two.
Mm-hmm. And what is that, that's mostly been your inspirations for your type of art, that that form of art style? I've seen, like, maybe it's also from the name, your name Garden, but like I think of like the what I've seen of Over the Garden Wall, like various different, like very, very muted color, very muted colors. Your colors aren't as vibrant. They're very much like a darker shade and a darker tone, but they give like a more of a cozy, earthy feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very much kind of the energy I'm trying to put out, because I just like those colors and I like that sort of aesthetic. Over the Garden Wall is a very good example of that. That shows a big inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely, I'd say that's there. I didn't know where I was going with that sentence.
You're fine. So with all your different big amounts of inspiration, how did you first get into art in general? Like before you found out your style, what you wanted as a style, you had to go ahead and like create, and you had to go ahead and start creating whatever it is you started out with, and then eventually evolve into your style. But what did you first start out with, like in terms of like stylistically, and when did you start and everything involved with like the beginning?
Yeah, so I mean, like when I started, definitely, I'm very much the type where it's like, oh, I've been drawing ever since I could pick up a pencil. But I think what got me into art genuinely was that like for me to start taking it sort of semi-seriously was that like in elementary school when I was like, I don't know, 8 or something or 7. My Little Pony came out and I really liked that show. So I drew like My Little Pony art for like 3 years. I hope I had fun. But you know, that was a big thing for me. And then also just, I don't know. I always liked drawing just animals and things. I always liked animals since I was a little kid. So I just drew cause it was fun. And people were really nice. My classmates, they're always really sweet about my art, I got kind of known as like the art kid ever since I was little. That's something that's just stuck around, is that it's like, oh, there's Maya, she's good at art. Yeah, that was a big thing when I was a kid, was you know, just the fact that that was like the thing that I did. So I took a lot of pride in that. And definitely that kind of boistered my confidence. I've always been like a guy kid, and I've never been especially confident. I'm better about it now, but like when I was a little kid, it was like, you know, I was terrified of talking to people. But having art be like the thing where people are like, yeah, she's good at that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good at that. it was like a huge, that like kind of made me start taking it, or like that made me get into it more like genuinely, was like when I was, I don't know, I think I was like 10. Which like saying it out loud, I'm like, oh, I was a baby. But when I was 10, I got like a DeviantArt. All right, you're not supposed to have a result, you're supposed to be 13 or older.
Yeah.
And you do. So you know, that was also like, I was super sweet. So I guess that's the two big things, is that as a kid, people were really, and then I go to DeviantArt and I was like, oh my God, there are people who time. That's so sick.
Really sorry, just real quick. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording just one sec. All right. Sorry about that little break there. Just tried to fix some audio issues in the first bit. Hopefully won't be having those anymore. But let's go ahead and get back to what you're saying. When we were last talking about, we had talked about your sense of color and your sense of style and how you like how it first came about and how that's how you got things done early. And you wanted to go ahead and what was it? You talked about how you started drawing like My Little Pony and different like sort of drawing animals. But how is it that you got to your sense of artistic like coloring and style that you have today compared to when you first started out? I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So funny, because it's actually been very sort of, I would say kind of roundabout, because I never, when I was a kid, I was do the things that I like now. Like the things that influence my style currently are very much like, I wasn't super into that as a younger kid. I kind of grew into it weirdly. It's especially weird because now it's a lot of like children's content that's very much like you know, like old kind of vintage children's book illustrated big thing. Yeah, like originally it was my art style was very bright and very colorful, very saturated, and that was a lot of that. It was just influenced by like, you know, it was like cartoons and like I really liked Steven Universe in like middle school, so that was a really big thing for a while. Like I was like, oh yeah, bright colors and like pastel colors, and that was a big thing. And I guess just eventually I pivoted to like doing the art that I do now, because I mean, something that's been pretty consistent is that I've always really liked woodsy kind of settings and like witchy aesthetics and things like that, like very earthy sort of cottagey looks and vibes. So I guess I like kind of leaned into that relatively recently. I think in the past year or so, I very much embraced like, you know what, these things make me happy and I want to just do this now.
Was there any fear of the change from your artistic work, or has it just always been like a natural progression of like, this is what makes me happy and I don't mind that it looks very different from what it used to look like, but that's just how like everything changes as you grow older and you like learn what you like more?
I think it's always been it's always been kind of gradual, I would say. I don't think there was ever a point in time where it's changed very drastically. It's like, if you look at my art from like a couple years ago, it's like, oh, wow, that's different, you know? But if you kind of like, if you were to take all of my art and put it on like a timeline, I think it would be like, there was like a progression there. So yeah. I never really had that thing of like
the spark or whatever.
Yeah. There was never a moment where I was like, and I'm doing it completely differently now. It's like, it's always pretty consistently felt like my art, even when I've made changes to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can definitely see that with like, and just from scrolling all the way down your feed on Instagram, you've had a different portions where you were mostly done things digitally, but there was a time in which you did a lot of things traditionally. When you first started taking your art very seriously, did you start traditional, or did you like, what you did you decide you want to start be serious with it after you went digital?
I guess initially I really wanted to be a digital artist because when I was like very young, you know, I was very influenced by, you know, artists online and like speed paint, like people who were artists and who did speed paints. So I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do art. So I guess that's probably where I started, but it's always kind of been like flip-flopping back and forth. Like, you know, for a while I was doing a lot of digital art, and then I was doing a lot of traditional art after that, and then back to digital art. Now I kind of, yeah, at the moment I'm doing a lot of digital art, because I've kind of found that's where I enjoy kind of my style the most. It's kind of hard to pin without drawing. I couldn't always do digital art. That was something that I doing, I guess, relatively late. Well, I guess by now it's was early on, because yeah. I was doing digital art, but you know, it's so I kind of started out with that, and I kind of didn't.
I think it might be something to do with your Wi-Fi, but that's fine. I just want to go ahead and make sure like you said, like you were how old when you switched
to digital art?
Yeah, from like when you first started traditional and you couldn't start immediately, but you wanted to. Like, when was the time frame when you're like, all right, this is it?
I think it was I forgot, because my first tablet that I got was actually like a tablet that like my dad had, so he just kind of let me use it because he was never using it. Which was dope when I was a kid, because I can't imagine being like, oh God, I gotta save up money for this because they're expensive. I guess I tried it out when I was like, oh, I was so young. I was like 8 or something. And then I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do it anymore. So I stopped. And then I think it was when I was 10 that I was like, actually, yeah, I like this. Because the learning curve is super weird. Like the first time that you go from paper to like drawing on a tablet is like the most bonkers experience, because you're drawing with your hand, but then like it's showing up on a screen and you have to look at the screen and not at your hand. And it's like not mapped like exactly correctly.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, so I would say 10 probably. is the solid age I would say I was when I started doing digital art.
Okay. Yeah, you've just a quick aside, like you said, your dad had initially had a tablet. Was he also somewhat of an artist, or did he do it for his work? And I'm guessing they've always been relatively supportive of your artwork because of like them willing to go ahead and bring you along with it. Is that right?
My dad, he did more art when he was younger. He's not an artist now. He's like a computer guy. That's kind of his field, as he like programs and does software and things. I think that he got it because it's like a really old tablet is the thing. So he got it forever ago. He wasn't really using it because he doesn't do art very much. He was fairly, like, both my parents are fairly supportive of it. It's very much of like, well, I mean, you know, do it if it makes you happy, you know, which is dope. I'm glad that's how that is.
Yeah. With the inspirations we mentioned earlier involved with like creating animals, and we touched a little bit back on it involving with D&D. I'm guessing you play at least relatively often, or is it more of like you create characters from the universe, or what is it that you how is it that you use art and D&D and express those things together?
Currently I play pretty frequently because everyone's just super free because nobody's out anywhere. Everyone's at home. I've got like three friends who are DMs who run different games. I'm just in a bunch of games now. So I'm like playing fairly frequently. But that wasn't always the case. Like for the most part, like apart from the past couple months, I like don't actually play a whole lot just because everyone's like busy and I don't have... I have friends who are interested in D&D, but not a lot who like can play because they're like very busy with like school or like life things. So it's, you know, up until the past couple months, it's been sort of a thing where I very much enjoy like stuff and the aesthetics there. And I really like making characters just in general. And D&D is like a fun avenue for that just because it's like, I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities there, but there's also an amount of like I think the fact that it's like somewhat limited, because if you're just making characters you can do whatever you want, but if you're making like specifically like a D&D character, it's like, oh well, they have to, you know, fit within they have to be a specific like you know, race and class and whatnot, and I think that's fun. I just like designing like fantasy clothes also. I don't know that I'm super good at it, but I like to do it. So and like lately so much it's just been on my mind a lot, and I'm like drawing time. Like it's like it'll be like, you know, every session I'm doing doodles like while we're playing, and then I'll do art for everyone just because their characters are fun and I like them.
I could definitely see like artists in D&D are like a near match made in heaven, mostly because like, you know, the original characters while fitting a like sort of similar stylistic sense, and they have general descriptions, but they're not actually written, they're not actually like drawn out or like printed out. It allows for a lot of freedom in terms of that. And you definitely have a great sense of fantasy clothing. I love it. you do so well with that. You've got like and like you also mix and match you mix and match some of these different like contrasting some characters like can like contrast with how they're normally meant to look as like creatures, as like animals, compared to, and you've like shared those, you shared and married those different things very well together. And I think it definitely fits your aesthetic as well, with the muted tones and all that, and especially in a relatively bleak fantasy setting with fantastical creatures, it always allows for that to go ahead and be married well together. And how Real quick, how many times do you think you've made original characters not based around D&D, or have a majority of them been around D&D?
Oh God, so many. I've made so many characters. Because I've just been making characters since forever. Like, that's just a thing that I like to do. It's just fun. So I think the majority of the characters I've made have been not D&D centric. That's been like a very kind of recent thing for me, is making a bunch of D&D characters, just because it's like I have it on the mind and I like to do it. But I wouldn't be able to give you a number because it's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you came up with your name? That's been something. I'm guessing that would came from like a that came from like a maybe an early OC that you created, or was it just like a fun name that you found, and then you're like, oh, this has to make sense some way. Like, how did you come up with your username?
That's a good question, because it's kind of because I used to have a different username for a long time. I've had an evolution of what my username has been over the years. Mm-hmm. This one that I have currently, Garden Mouse, is just the most recent kind of iteration. And it came about because for a while my username was like Drowsy Deer. Just because, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a fursona, but it's a fursona. The little character that I have to represent me online, because I don't like to draw myself very much. And also just because it's fun, it was a deer. And then I stopped sort of vibing with that. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if that's really kind of my, I don't know if what's the word? Oh my God.
Relate?
Yeah, basically. My favorite, and then after that, I changed it to a rat, because my favorite animals are rats. Mm-hmm. But the thing about rat is that it doesn't work super well in a username, because it sounds so harsh.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're very cute and sweet, but the word rat isn't really my vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So the next best thing is mouse. And then, I don't know, I just thought of Garden Mouse, and I'm like, oh, that is exactly it. I want that to be my username. Mm-hmm. So now it is.
Yeah, I definitely think it makes a lot of sense. If when I first think of rat, I think of the New York Subway pizza rat, and or the Rat Boy Genius weird videos that pop up in my head, which I'm guessing you know a little bit about. You've definitely have God, I just love your art, by the way. I'm just looking through.
Thank
it. Just,
you.
It's so, it's so easy to look at in the eyes. I love it. And I definitely think that's like your main aim for that. Like, is definitely comfort. Do you ever like think about it like in the big brain subconscious sort of way of like why you like it, or do you just like, or is it always like a relatively surface level, like I enjoy this and it makes me feel warm and that's why I draw it? Or is there something like that you've looked into the reason why your art looks the way it is?
I'm I'm sure you psychoanalyze the reasons why I like it if you so desired, but I guess it's, you know, when I do art in general, it's I do things like I've always drawn things that have just made me, that I just enjoy. Like, I do art very much for fun if I'm not doing commissions. So I don't know, I think lately, just, you know, the like little creatures and comfortable little settings and the homey stuff, like that stuff is just is very appealing to me right now. And I think definitely a lot of it is that I don't know, it's like it feels actually very kind of contradictory to what I see in my life a lot of the time. I do not live in like a woodsy area. A very populated area of the U.S. It's very much, it's like I'm in the middle of like a city, but not like a huge city. So it's I'm like, mm-hmm. far from anywhere that's anything like, you know, woodsy and stuff. I don't know. I think just something about like very slow, kind of mundane things is just very appealing to me. I think, you know, there's a lot in the world that's very overwhelming, you know? There's a mm-hmm. lot that's tough and hard. The stuff that I want to look at when I sit down and draw is, like, I don't know, little mice making tea. Like, that's just pleasant. And I guess I don't know why exactly that in particular is what, appeals to me. But it's something I associate with, like, I don't know, it's just comfy and sweet.
Mm-hmm. I think comfort is something that's, like, really is a, it's really an aesthetic that, like, has been, I wouldn't say has been lost as of recent. There are definitely artists that have been, like, wanting to create more in that vein, like yourself, like examples, like I stated earlier, with like Over the Garden Wall, and like similar colors and tones, like with by Twisted Wood or something like those kind of different artists. Is there any artist that you look towards as for like inspiration, or is there like, is it mostly just like been the local set of like friends inside of your own your own friend group and community, or like your friends? Is that like your main inspirations for your work, or has it always been like something that's been attached emotionally to you, and like you've wanted to express it in that way?
God, there's so many good artists out there, man. It's hard to even like pinpoint, because there are ones that stick out in my head. Like there's one artist that I know from Instagram. I think that she's also on Twitter, but I don't have Twitter, so I don't know what she does on there. Her Instagram is Hey Shan Murphy, all one word. Mm-hmm. And she does just really sweet, like cartoony and fun art. It's a lot more colorful than mine, but it's hard to describe. It's kind of like scribbly, but in a way that's like very charming. She's like a huge inspiration, definitely. Like I remember finding her art and being like, I want to make art that's like this. There was also the animator Louis Zong. His work is amazing. Very much he inspires me, like when it comes to like colors, like the way that he colors things, like the textures he uses is really good. And The Game Night in the Woods, that's a big one. That's a huge inspiration when I watched that. Played. Sorry, I'm losing my mind, because I usually watch people play video games. I don't tend to buy video games for myself. I'm very much like I watch Let's Play. But yeah, so that's also a big one. The colors in that game are fantastic. Simplistic designs are really sweet. I think that that's great. And there's just like a million bazillion like Instagram artists where I'm like, you are so talented and I want to make art like you. It's like I could probably like go through my following, like all the people I'm following, and be like, I like this person for this reason, and they do art that's like this. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, it's like from everywhere. Yeah.
Welcome. Come. Take a seat by the fire. It's been a cold one out there these past few days, eh? Oh, close the door. It's a chilly one out there. So, what brings you to my humble abode? Aye, a little bit of travel, eh? Well, not much of an issue for me. You're always welcome in my inn. So, may I go ahead and interest you in some drinks? You just need a place to rest for a while. I understand. But don't forget, you always have to listen to the middle bit.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the middle bit. I'm your host, Doc Conrad, and let's get things started, shall we?
If you didn't know from the last episode, I have been streaming live on Twitch every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST, and Saturdays at a random point in time. If you are listening to this right now, in fact, later on today, I will be doing a stream. Not too sure what it's going to be on Saturday, but it's going to be a good one. I know that for certain. Had a lot of fun with those all the time. Having fun playing Minecraft, Among Us, all those sort of games. It's been quite a bit of fun playing games with fans, and friends, people that I know, past guests of the podcast, and all that. So, if you want to go ahead and catch me live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST, that is twitch.tv/DrConrad. Again, that is twitch.tv/DrConrad. Also, I've been seeing a lot of support coming from some big fans of the podcast over the past few days, and it's been great to go ahead and see. I want to go ahead and get the ball rolling again, so if you want to go ahead and suggest this podcast to anyone that you think might enjoy it, please go ahead and do so. I'd love to go ahead and check it out. And if you're a fan of the show, feel free to go ahead and at me on Twitter, at @ComsOpenPodcast. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, at @ComsOpenPodcast, and you can go ahead and check me out there. Also, if you happen to be someone who's watching the podcast on YouTube, be sure to hit subscribe and hit the like button. It would really help me out quite a bit. And if you're listening on whatever app you use, I would love it if you would go ahead and follow the podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, anything you want to go ahead and do, just go ahead and follow me there. That'd be amazing. And, yep. All right, that looks like it's going to be it for the middle bit. You guys enjoy the rest of the interview. Take care. All right, bye.
I can definitely attest to that. Like, there are some amazing artists that have been like that inspire tons of different artists every day, and tons of different people like borrow the different, like, whether it be like feelings or this color, like reimaginings of color or like even characters and all that. I definitely think that like you. While yours can be inspired, you are definitely an inspiration to a ton of different artists.
Thank you.
Yeah, especially from the sense of people who want to go and have that feeling of comfort and like that in the same vein that you feel when you create your art, of people who are probably in like larger cities who want to go ahead and have a chance to go ahead and take a step back and breathe. And that's the kind of art that really gives that you really like to give. It's like a good breath of fresh air in the middle of the woods. That's the best way I could describe the way that you've drawn your aesthetic. Sometimes it's a little bit dirty, like your girl Lottie, is that her name?
Sorry, you just say it like Lot. But yeah, Lottie. My little goblin girl. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and I'll before we go ahead and hop into like personal questions, I'll go ahead and like here's a fun little thing. Why don't you go ahead and gush about your D&D your D&D the characters you're playing currently, your D&D campaigns?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So, I'll start with Lot, since she's kind of I think she's like my longest running character so far. Because I haven't been playing her for that long, but it's just that group has stuck together the longest. Mm-hmm. I just a lot of games tend to fizzle out after a session or two, and it's like whatever, you know, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a little goblin girl, but if you called her a little goblin girl, she would hate it because she's very much like goblins are the age weird. So she's like 8 years old ish, but that's like young adult age for goblins. And she's like 3 feet tall. So she's like, everyone's like, you're a child. And she's like, I'm not a child.
Mm-hmm.
She's, it's kind of unfortunate that she's my longest running character. Not because I dislike her. Like, I love her so much, but because she's kind of mean. Like, she sucks. She's kind of mean to her party members because the way she is, or like the way I have her character kind of set up is that she's like, very much distrusting of other people, and she is very closed off unless you give her like a reason for her to like you, in which case she's like ride or die. It's like and the party that she's with is like they're like varying degrees of like asshole. So like, so she's mean. Mm-hmm. It's very much, it's like, the group, like we joke that they're always, the game that we're playing is, Dragon Heist, Waterdeep Dragon Heist, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we joke that like, the game is just, it's always sunny in Waterdeep, because everyone sucks. and it's really funny, but, yeah, so, you know, she's got like a heart in her somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little tough. Oh, and she's like a warlock also. So she's, you know, yeah. She's a little goblin warlock. So she's got this like demon guy that's, I can't say too much because I some people from my party might listen to this, and I don't want to give any spoilers about her deep lore.
Shh, don't spoil it.
Yeah, no spoilers. But yeah, so yeah, she's a horrible little goblin girl who likes to steal, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then let's see, who else am I playing right now? She's kind of the main one, because we play that game is like 2 times a week. It's usually only about one, because usually people are missing or something. But
mm-hmm.
It's like supposed to be. I've played in the past a little Kenku girl, mm-hmm. who is very fun, because I started playing her because it was like when I was kind of newish to playing D&D, because I've like kind of dipped into DMing, and that was like my first thing, but like that was tough. I always had a really hard time with that because I'm very nervous in group setting, so DMing didn't quite work out for me, especially as like a first time thing. So when I was like kind of dipping my toes into being a player, I was like, what if I played a character who like didn't really talk? So I have my Kenku girl, and her name is Luck, because she is a cleric, which is funny. She's like the opposite of Lot, pretty much, where mm-hmm. she like is super sweet to everyone all the time, just because she like doesn't know any better. She's great. She's really great for me because she like, as a Kenku, it's like she mostly just makes sounds. Because I don't know if you know, but Kenku, like as a race, they don't have their own voices. So they either mimic people's voices or they mimic sounds, kind of like a parrot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have like a list of sounds that she makes, and I'm just, you know, when I'm playing her, instead of talking, I get to just be like, oh, she very happily like pigeon coos at people. And that's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not playing her in a game right now, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And
how about one more? Because I love all these. I love both these characters, but like I want to make sure that like I get to you as well and like talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about one more of your D&D characters real quick, and then we'll get to you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. I have a. I'm in a game right now that might be changing into a different game, so I don't know if I'm going to be character for very long, but one of the other players in the game is like a friend of mine. I'm friends with a lot of the people, pretty much everyone by now. I'm friends with all of them, and one player that I'm friends with in particular, I'm playing twin tabaxis with. Mm. Which is very fun. They're like identical twins. I mean, they're fraternal twins, but they look identical. Mm-hmm. It's like their whole thing is that like they are both, they have like the charlatan background, so they both have alternate identities, and their alternate identities are just each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, they their names are Viola and Sebastian, after like Shakespeare characters that are also twins, also get into hijinks. Mm-hmm. So they're both like, and oh my God, one of them's a warlock and one of them's a cleric, and they both worship the same God too. so that's fun. And they're just like a total joy to play, because like I love the sibling dynamic that they have, and mm-hmm. it like the them like impersonating each other is so funny, especially because we don't do the same voice for each character. Like, so every time we have to like pretend to be the other one, we do a very bad impression of the other, which is great. it's just they're super funny. I love
I'm really glad I got it. This is my favorite part about being the host of this podcast, is hearing people like talk about what they love, and like hearing you talk about that is the best thing ever. D&D characters are always something that gives people quite a bit of delight, especially when people really get into characters. I'm guessing that's the kind of campaign that you enjoy to have, you want to have, where people really get in their characters instead of it being like I roll combat, I do damage.
Totally. Like, combat's fun and all, but the funnest stuff is when you're just doing things in character. I think that's like mm-hmm. the best.
Yeah, I can 100% agree with you there. So moving on from D&D, we're getting a little bit more and more closer towards the end. Not quite, but still. With a little break in the middle, it might be a little bit off, but oh well. I'm going to go ahead and ask you a couple of just more personal questions about yourself, because we talked about your art, we talked about your inspirations, and I absolutely love the aesthetic of your artwork. And I'll go ahead and talk about the plenty a bit in a little bit, but I want to know a little bit more about who you are to the audience at home. Why don't you go ahead and give like a quick like rundown of like who you are, if you want to go ahead, if you'd be so open to do so.
Yeah, totally. My real name is Maya, and I'm 16, so I'm a kid. And I'm a 16-year-old girl, I don't know, I guess we kind of covered a lot of my interests already. I do a lot of D&D, and my art is very much like these are the things that I like. I'm Arrow Ace. That's a thing about me. That's a thing that I actually don't talk about a whole ton because it's relatively new. I did not know that until a few months ago, because for a while I was like, oh, I'm a lesbian because I don't like men. And then I started questioning, wait, do I actually also like women? And then I was like, oh God. And I had like a crisis over that for a while. And now I'm like, I'm Arrow Ace. I guess I should clarify for people who don't know. That means aromantic asexual. So I'm not romantically or sexually attracted to anybody. Mm-hmm. That's all. My favorite animals are rats. I think that's probably pretty obvious if you look at my art. I just draw a lot of mice and rats and things because they're cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's me, baby. Those are the facts about me.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you like being comfortable enough to go ahead and state those things. Like, especially because like I know some people might be like confused, or like people might ask like a ton of different questions or stuff like that sort of thing. Or some people be rude to not even accept that sort of thing. But I really appreciate you, and I want you to know I want to go ahead and say like thank you so much for bringing that to telling me that, because like it's not something that a lot of people are aware of. It's not something that a lot of people like would pay attention to, and it's not something that like a lot of people tend to like think about when they're talking about the LGBTQ and Q+ spectrum. Like not something that is readily like talked about. If I may be so kind as to ask, like, how is it that you realize that was the situation?
So it's kind of funny. It's a funny story because the thing about it, I think, and I think this is true of a lot of aromantic people, and both like Arrow and Ace, but I think especially Arrow people, is that like we just don't even consider it as like an option for a long time, you know, because romance is such a like big deal, and it's like the thing, you know. mm-hmm. So you know, it took me a really long time to figure out the fact that, like, I've never had a crush on any. And I, that's not really, like, romance isn't something that I'm actually all that interested in for me. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I don't dislike it as a concept. Like, I still think that, you know, couples getting together and romantic stuff is cute. I just don't like it happening to me. I started questioning it when I was, it was like I had broken up with friend of mine because we were dating for like very briefly. Mm-hmm. I've only dated two people ever. Both of them were my friends, and we're still friends. We're like totally cool. Like it went super smoothly, and I couldn't have asked for it to have gone better. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'd broken up with somebody, and I felt so bad because I was like, because like both times it was like I started dating them, and then I realized that I didn't feel the same way as them, which is something that is like, I don't really know how to explain that to anybody who does experience romantic attraction, because I absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there was always the sense that like I did not feel something that they did feel, and that was super weird to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had broken up with both of them because I was like, man, y'all deserve somebody who's like head over heels for you, and I don't know if that's me. Mm-hmm. Because you know, like both of the people were like super sweet, really cool, and I liked getting to know them. Yeah. But I just didn't like them, you know, like romantically. And I thought, like, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because you know, when you have like, when romance is depicted in the media, it's like people are like, oh, I they're super cool, so I have a crush on them. I don't know. I have now learned to have no idea actually, but you know, mm-hmm. like. So I was, because I was like, man, everything, it's like they're really cute and they're super sweet and I love talking to them, but I just don't like being in a relationship with them. That's weird. And then I think it was Munchie Bones actually, the one who, because I was venting to her about it, and she was just like, maybe you're Arrow. And I'm like, not for 2 months. And then remember, and I was like, oh God, what if I am Arrow? And I was like, that would make things a lot more sense. And then like a few weeks of me going, oh God, am I? No, wait, but am I Arrow? And then, you know, finally it culminated in me being like, yeah, I'm Arrow. I've never had a crush on anybody. Everything that I've like thought was a crush, it turns out was just me thinking that people are pretty. And then from that, assuming that means that I had a crush. Because as it turns out, it's very different. I thought that it was just the same thing. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone felt the way that I did, and it's like, no, wow, people actually like to be with people. Mm-hmm. Which is like such a weird thing to say, but mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, so I guess that's I don't know if that was a great summary. That it was confusing, and no. Then I figured it out.
That you very much like verbalize what happens with, I'm guessing, a lot of different people involved with it. I can't say that it's someone personally, but I'm guessing that's like not typical in terms of like how other people would experience aromantic feelings, mostly because in the sense where if you were to experience, if you don't even realize your own human experience is connected with other people, it's hard to go ahead and it's a way you can go ahead and relate to others. Like if you can't exactly relate to how a person feels, then it's not exactly going to go ahead and line up with how you'd see everything. You were initially confused and thought it meant one thing, but it turns out it meant another, and it was a feeling that you didn't have initially. But I'm glad that you found it out, and I'm glad that you're better. I'm hoping that you're going to be like better off for it, because you deserve that. You deserve to go ahead and know who you are, and you deserve to go ahead and like have that sort of, have those feelings and be able to recognize them and be able to put them into your own perspective in your own head. And I think self-identification and understanding who you really are is one of the most important things for people in general to go ahead and realize when people are on any sort of spectrum, knowing is much better than not knowing. And I'm glad that even though that process was probably arduous and like pain, probably a little bit painful, not realizing like what you were, finally realizing it, I'm guessing was worth it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, like when I first figured it out, I'd come out on like publicly about it. And, you know, at the time it was definitely, oh God, you know, for there was a period of time genuinely, oh no, I hope I'm not arrow, which is like, yikes, what? I shouldn't have to feel that way. I don't feel like that at all anymore. Now I'm like, hell yeah, look at me go. I figured it out. Things are great. Like, wow, yes. I really just don't have to date people if I don't want. That's pretty sick. which is true of everyone. That's true of everyone regardless. I like knew that before, but I didn't like know it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, like now it's definitely, yeah, it's dope. I'm having a nice time knowing that, because like, you know, as much as the confusion sucks and as much as the coming to terms with it sucks, it's like after that it's like, wow, all right, I'm just me now. Yeah, you know,
it's almost relieving in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to say, we're getting towards the end, but I want to go ahead and wrap things up in a nice little bow. I'm glad, first of all, that you found out who you were, because that's when, like I said, it's one of the most important things to realize as like an individual, as a person. And I know, and I'm glad that you went through that journey of self-discovery. I'm also glad that you've been such a great inspiration to other people's in their lives. Your art is full stop inspiring. Like it's you've got a unique sense, of color, a unique sense of feeling, a unique sense of style. It's honestly like some of my favorites. To when I'm scrolling, I feel this sort of like your message is heard in that regard of like wanting to feel like you are drawing something comfortable and wanting to feel like you're drawing something like in a more somewhere out there in a fantastical setting. This is happening right now. You've got that down to a T. It's near dreamlike what you've been able to create with this sort of with this world that you've like with these different worlds that you've made in each and every single drawing. And I can't say enough that like you've got a great stylistic choice of like best suits you. I must say,
thank you so much. Yeah, that is like so sweet. I'm sitting here just like grinning. I'm like, oh, that's really nice of you.
You've got an absolutely wonderful style, and I definitely can see that this is something that can be done in an illustration of like a children's book, or creating the characters that you've made and being able to turn it into a sort of like a further setting. You have got a so much potential involved with like as you've grown further. You like you said, you're only 16. Like you're only 16. You're this good. Like holy shit. Like you started off early, and you've grown like a way farther beyond than like normal expectations would proceed. Like you've got that for people, and I'm certain that when other people are beginning or starting off, they'll see your characters and get inspired by them, by your colors, by your characters, by your clothing as well. I know you said you were a little bit like you don't know if you draw them well. You draw that perfectly. You draw fantastical settings, clothing perfectly.
I'm super glad. Thank you.
And when even in deviations to your normal colors, like the way that you've like been able to draw them has been in terms of deviations from your sort of semi-realistic to earthy aesthetic, even in variations where you did draw more saturated colors, they're still amazing, and they still somehow fit. And that's not something that a lot of people can go ahead and say. So it's, yeah, I definitely think that you have got a you've got something special, and I definitely think that I can see your work being in any form of concept art, an inspiration to others. I can easily see you working for like any sort of like a small independent film, or seeing it in a cartoon, or seeing it in like even like a little video game. Like that, these are the like things that I get from your art. So yeah, I just want to go ahead and say that you have got a lot of potential inside of you, and I know you can reach it. That's my number one thing I want you to be certain of, because I know sometimes artists get discouraged from like seeing these comments from like all over, and like they see these wonderful comments, but they don't really get to go ahead and hear the proper way of like proper expression that people feel. And I want you to know that it is absolutely wonderful what you've created in each of your characters, in your art aesthetic, and everything. I'm happy to go ahead and I'm proud to go ahead and say that to you. So
yeah, thank you so much. I'm like incredibly flattered. That means so much to me. I'm really glad that you think that like my art is like it's the thing. I'm like overwhelmed.
And with your sense of overwhelmment, we're gonna wrap things up. Maya, thank you so much for being on here. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much again for having me on. It was wonderful. I had a great time.